Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Before we start, anything specifically you want to get to?
I think the Man U game was interesting, and then the Nottingham Forest stuff was interesting, kind of how they dealt with that.
I didn't
know how Jimmy dealt with it.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of it, football this weekend.
Me neither, actually, to be honest with you. I've read a lot of stuff, but I haven't seen that much.
I'll just go with it.
Yeah, well, just wing it, you know. Christ, what's the worst that can happen, you know? Are we recording? Oh, yeah, we're recording. Good. Let's just set up for a good show. Hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. We're insightful experts with our ear to the ground and prepared to fill you in and educate you on what happened this weekend in the football world. Jimmy Brennan's here. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, JC's here. Land Rover Jeff Ender, as he's titled.
Ooh.
Yeah, was that your name in the porn audition? Oh, Jimmy, you missed that on Friday. JC divulged some information that once upon a time, when he first moved to Toronto, he went for an interview to star in a porn movie, but then got cold feet, so to speak. And literally pulled out.
Are you serious? Like, what was? Do you know what the scene was, or was it just open category for you?
Well, I know that there was a bunch of guys. That's for sure.
Oh,
and I had to wear a. I was wearing a bonnet. And no, I have no idea. I have no idea what it was going to be. But I know. I'm glad I didn't do it.
You probably haven't heard that word in a while. Bonnet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Bonnet.
Yeah. No, listen, JC, I think we're all happy that you weren't in it, but you never know where your life may have gone.
No, it's never too late. You weren't.
I know.
Dan Wong's here. Hey, Wonger.
Hi, Sharms. We ate we ate a slider yesterday at the York United and Forge match up at York Lions Stadium.
Yeah, Craig Forrest here too, by the way. He was there with us. I tell you what, that was one of my top five sliders I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, the guy didn't have a hard time selling it when he said slow roasted beef over 48 hours, I think he said.
Yeah, with a curry kind of tin. It was absolutely delicious.
Yep.
I tell you what, the York game, home opener, 2,600 fans there, which is the biggest since Jimmy Brennan was patrolling the sidelines. And a lot of Forge support were there. They really travel well. But the people working in the hospitality zone, which is where we were busting their ass. And I tell you, the food was just top notch. To the point where we were just not so much watching the match, but just stuffing our faces
Yeah, it was fantastic. Thank you, by the way, for the invite, York United.
Yes, absolutely. It was a really good atmosphere there, actually. Good energy there. Not a great performance by the home team in the end, being smashed 3-0. But overall, I think the new ownership should be pretty encouraged with the potential. So, yeah, that was our Sunday afternoon. I like afternoon games. I just like them.
I wish it was a little bit on the cool side, too. So that was a pretty decent little outing, I thought.
CPL, you need to do more of those. I mean, actually, they do a fair number of afternoon games, actually, don't they? Some MLS, they're just dropping the ball with that completely. Because yeah, the Apple deal.
7:30 starts everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah. So listen, if you haven't given your local CPL team a chance just yet, do it. Do it.
There's an opportunity there with Apple going at 7:30 at night, because it is great for the kids. It's great to see professional footy out there. And everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves, even though it got a little cool. I have to say, it was with the food, a couple of the bevies that we had, Charms.
Mm-hmm.
I was nice and warm.
Yeah, very toasty. Very toasty. I must admit, I liked.
Sorry, I agree, Jimmy, with you, though, with the afternoon kickoffs. I think they're my favorite, especially on a Saturday. You know, the match in the afternoon, you can have a couple of beers and you still got the evening to do whatever you like. Mm-hmm. And then on a Sunday, the exact same, a little Sunday afternoon in the sun, a couple of beers and get yourself to bed at a good time.
It's true, because with MLS, every game for TFC in particular is 7:30 p.m., right?
Yeah.
I have a life, right? Not much of one, admittedly, but I have a life that I can't commit to. I want to watch every game live. I really want to, but I cannot watch every game live. Because I have this thing called a life. And I'm sorry, MLS, until some major network gives me a call and says, hey, we'll pay you to watch the games. I can't watch every game because, you know what? I've got a life, as we all do. And that's the problem with this.
And what did you do Saturday night, Shams?
I went to a concert, Matt Good. Outstanding. Really good. Really good show, by the way. He's still got it, although he couldn't play guitar anymore. He's done his... He's got nerve damage to his right arm, which is a real shame because his voice is fantastic. Big footy fan, by the way, Matt Good. Huge footy fan. Arsenal and England.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll try and get him on the show at some point. I've interviewed Matt many times. Anyway, that's what I did on Saturday night anyway, Jimmy, to answer your question. But I caught up on my MLS later. JC and Wong, your hair is both magnificent.
Look at your wigs.
Yeah, look at that. No dubs today. We should mention that because people be freaking out right now. Freaking out. Oh, where's Amy? She's having dinner with Sefran, the UEFA president or something.
Oh, we didn't fire her?
No, she wasn't fired. No. We're still having that conversation later in the day, remember?
Yeah.
Remember the 12 o'clock meeting we have? No, she'll be back on, probably tomorrow with Montreal 3 Questions, right? Yeah, okay, so yeah, so CPL was great. I like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedule as well. CPL, yeah. Kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, it is a good idea. Every day you got a game. I love it.
Ooh.
I think it's really good.
This week, Canadian Championship kicks off as well.
Yeah,
Simcoe Rovers against TFC, non-league against MLS.
Super cool.
Very, very cool.
This could be a 15-0 dubbing here. By the way,
you think so? Do you?
A dubbing or a drubbing?
Drumming.
A dubbing. Ooh, a dubbing. Ooh,
Jesus. A dubbing for dubs.
You think it could be? I mean, listen, there's a massive gap there, right? Give respect to Simcoe. Really good story. Love it. And, you know, showing how the game is growing in this country. But right now, that's a step up, isn't it? If you're John Herbin, do you rest players? I mean, it's tough to rest players when you've got so many injuries. But do you? Or do you just go out there and say, we need a good performance and a good result here?
If I was him, I'd be going out there and pumping a team to get us going.
Ah. Just pump them.
Yeah, just give it to them.
Good old-fashioned dubbing.
Yeah. Good old-fashioned dubbing.
Well, they came out the weekend. They won this weekend 1-0 TFC, right, against a poor New England, Craig. But who cares? Win's a win. Prince Owusu scores again. 4 in 5 games.
What a goal.
It was a nice goal, wasn't it? Kind of spinning, kind of that Ibrahimovic kind of spinning back heel thingy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, really, New England have faced TFC, what, twice now, and two really brilliant goals from TFC have separated the two. But New England must be thinking, how did we not get something from those two games? They outshot them quite heavily in the first game, lose 1-0, and they outshot them in the second game. I think their corners were 19-0 over the two games for New England. Not a single corner for TFC, I think, in those two games against them. So, but it comes down to finishing, and they managed to get it. So in the next few games, too, TFC are playing sides that aren't above 500. So they got a chance to pick up some more points coming up because the schedule is pretty favorable for them.
Vancouver won. Montreal cost me $100. Thank you for conceding that late goal.
Oh, that was your footy picks,
my
right?
Canadian parlay.
Yeah.
$5 would have paid $110.
Oh, well, well done. And
fucking, no, the 96th minute, whatever it was.
I know. Jesus, but it was a good, I like the pick though, like the three Canadian teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. My local generic gambling book gave me good odds on that. insert brand here.
I'm liking this Vancouver team.
Mm-hmm.
They are the best in the country.
Oh, yeah.
By a country mile. They are very good.
Very deep good. Deep side. And Craig and I, we have to try and keep Asa Raymond's feet on the ground every Vancouver three questions. He's getting very pumped about it. And so he should. It's fun to cover football out there once again, right? And with the transfer window, what's the date today? Is it today or tomorrow? 23rd. When is that? Is that today?
Today.
Who is the transfer? Oh, no, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so the MLS transfer window closes tomorrow. Now, obviously, with European window being closed already, there's only so much you can do. But it's within the league or, you know, free agency, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll see if Vancouver address anything. They've got so much depth, right, Craig? And that's been their strength all season long so far. Goals coming from around the team. So they don't have to do anything right now.
No, we talked about the disruption that could bring potentially to the squad as well, bringing somebody in. So I think they're fairly happy with it. Another window in the summer, right? So
that's the big one.
I don't think we'll see any moves from Vancouver in the next.
But there must be. My significant other was out there, and she said for the last 6 days, she said there was a buzz about Vancouver. She goes, it was beautiful, and the Canucks won last night. That's right. Then the Whitecaps won, and two, you know, there's that buzz that is created when your professional sports team, your home teams are doing well. And it's great for the economy, and it's great for just community, even, you know. So there's always something about that I do, even though I'm not a big Leafs fan. I want the Leafs, and I want TFC to do well, right? And it's interesting to see Vancouver going through that right now, or being in that place again, because it hasn't happened, as Craig knows, in a long, long time.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, if the Leafs do well, I mean, there is a buzz in Toronto, Vancouver, you know, any of the cities, really, there's a buzz in any of the teams doing well, and that's what's happening out in Vancouver. The city of champions.
But there was a buzz in every city this weekend because it was 420.
Ah, nicely put in there. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, do you think we're going to – I mean, I'm thinking and I'm hoping Ryan Gold's going to be playing for Canada at some point.
Yes, please.
I did
the math with that a few months ago now in a column looking at what the legal – I mean, listen, you can always fast-track things. I understand that. But legality for citizenship to get your passport. And they could squeeze him in before the World Cup, right? He's been here long enough. Yeah. Do it. Like, you have to, I think. I mean, it's not as if Canada's got great depth, right? And this guy is just tearing it up again in MLS. And a great leader by all accounts, too, which is what this team needs as well. I mean, you have to. Listen, unless he has aspirations to make Scotland still, but at his age, it's not going to happen now, I don't think. And, you know, we spoke to John Carver, didn't we, a few months ago now. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to have much intel on Ryan Gold, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
The Scottish team. So, yeah, Ryan Gould loves Vancouver too, by all accounts. Really settled in there beautifully with his family. And it's time we started the movement, I think. I'm sure it's already begun behind the scenes.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Would he walk into that 11 right now, or would it be just a depth player? I mean, listen, they've got good strength in midfield. We know that, right?
Yeah. Well, he's got a problem there with Scotland in that in place too, right? I mean, they've got some very strong players in the positions that mm-hmm. he would take up potentially. So, yeah, I think that the Canada angle is got to be something he's thinking about. It has to be at this point.
Yeah, especially knowing there's going to be a World Cup coming.
Right. You know what? One way to find out, right? Let's get him on the show. I am going to email our friends at Vancouver right after this show. Okay? And not to put them on the spot, they've been really good with us so far. And they seem to be very open to getting their personalities on our podcast. I'm not sure if Ryan's available this week. I don't know. But we will plant the seed. And then we'll just flat out ask him.
And we have to say Vancouver has been way better than TFC and CF Montreal at providing access. Isn't that true? So maybe
over the last number of years they have.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Hasn't, you know, so it's interesting. Let's see if the other clubs can compete.
They say good things. I mean, listen, Vancouver and Toronto, in fairness to them, we've spoken to them. Dubs is obviously close to Montreal. I've spoken to TFC and we will be getting guests on. They seem very open to it. It's just Vancouver seem quite proactive, which I like because it prevents, means that I don't have to, you know, work as much or as hard when they come to us.
I think you don't have to pull on the coat.
The access to players, I really think that is so important is there's the stories that they tell. And, you know, when we had Ali Ahmed on, like his story and the conversation is really interesting. And it's a personal interest, human interest stories that people and fans really connect to. That's why reality TV does so well. And sports is the original reality TV. So if you give them access to people and their stories, people are very, very interested in that, I find.
100%, Craig. And it's not as if we're going to, you know, bring players on and say, so what's happening at TFC? I don't care because they're not going to say anything, right? You can't expect players to. So you ask other questions.
I want to know what they did. Why are they here? How do they, you know, what are the struggles they had? What are the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that comes with football? You want to hear their stories.
Yeah. I chatted with Prince Owusu last week for a piece and ended up talking about Leverkusen. And his eyes just light up, talking about German football. And the personality comes out, right? It's a perspective. It's great. I love those stories. I love those conversations more than, you know, well, you're having difficulty scoring goals this year. Why is that? You know, what are they going to say? You know,
well, you're easy to talk to too, Sharms. Like I got to give it to you, pal.
Yeah. Just stare you deep into your eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say. Dubs called us lovers on our dark web. What did you two lovers do at the match? You'd be like, well, we ate a sandwich together.
A few of them, actually. A few sandwiches.
Exactly.
In fairness.
Yeah, see, you two get along like that. I think for the rest of us, when I look at Wonger and I look at Sharms, sometimes we're closer, we're talking, and I'm thinking, is this guy coming in for a kiss or is he coming in for a question? What's going through his head right now?
I know what you thought.
Is Jimmy coming in for a kiss or?
Exactly.
And if he did, how would I react?
Is he about to
just turn the cheek? He just right on the cheek, Jimmy.
Yeah. Question.
Jimmy's like Pepe Le Pew.
He's a lover.
those videos that JC dug up from our what's it called again? Our Footy Prime
Summit.
I forgot about some of those videos, and there's ones of us weighing each other's heads. So we're very close. Just relax, let the net go flaccid, and just weigh the head. We should post some of those videos.
Please post them.
Anyway, well, back to the football.
We got it right as well because didn't we say the average weight of the head was about 10 to 11 pounds?
I think it was 20, didn't you? Did you say 20 pounds?
No, I think it said 12.
Did you? That was just Jimmy's head.
Jimmy's it is a big head.
24 pounds.
All right, sorry, back to the football. So FA Cup weekend. Let's get to these games because, I mean, it was something. United Coventry yesterday, Craig, was just insane. It really was. United up 3-0 at one point. It goes to penalties in the end after Coventry just get a goal waved off due to offside in the dying breath of extra time. And then United find a way and they squeak through. I've seen a lot of stories just hammering Erik ten Hag this morning. It's not often that a manager looks bad in a win, but is that what happened here?
Yeah. what an almost incredible game that really was. I mean, there was no real threat from Coventry at 3-0, and then all of a sudden the collapse happens, and then it goes to extra time, and it was electric. You know, Man U hitting the post, Coventry hitting the underside of the crossbar, and then they score late, and then the bar takes a few minutes to come up with the decision that it's offside, and I'm not even sure it's correct. It was so tight, I'm not sure that line was absolutely correct. A lot of talk about that, and interesting. I don't know what they do with that bar situation, because I guess if they're using technology to do it, and it says that it's an offside, I don't know where we go from there, because it's either offside or it's not. And if the computer and the technology is saying it's offside, you sort of have to go with that, or you don't, or you decide on something else. But it's becoming a problem. And that explosive excitement that you see when you score goals is not necessarily there now, because you don't know after the check whether it's going to count or not, you know? So that enthusiasm is sort of lost after goals a little bit. So I'm not sure where they go with this, but I think MLS has got it right as far as they don't use that technology. They just use the naked eye. And if it's that close, we're going with the attacker. I think it happened. We saw in a Montreal game or Vancouver where that happened, and it looked offside, but to the naked eye, it wasn't clear and obvious, and they just let it go and allowed the goal. So maybe that's the direction they go in with that. I'm not sure.
It's the biggest crime for me with VAR is just how it's taken away the drama and the theater, simply because someone scores a goal and straight away, well, they're going to review it. Is it, you know, as opposed to, like you said, they create that raw emotion, you know, where it balls in, there's no flag up, referee said goal. Okay. It's a fucking goal. Yeah. I just hate that. And now people are saying, oh yeah, but you get two chances to celebrate. Like, no, you don't. It's not the same. It really isn't. It's taken away the purity of the sport in that regard. It just really upsets me. Can you imagine that goal has stood? What, you know, we'll be talking about this morning, Coventry in the FA Cup final. I mean, what a story. What a story.
It would have been, I mean, if that was the final, that would have really been some big talking points. But, I mean, having won that, then they would have had to play Man City. Obviously, we know which way that's probably going to go. Probably, but it was something else. It was the brilliance of the FA Cup, and the Coventry fans stayed after the game. It was just packed, that half of the stadium. I don't know how many they had there, 30,000, 35,000 Coventry fans there. And that whole day, and even though they lost, it was special. It was special for them. And a lot of talk this week about the FA Cup replays going away without any conversation with the lower divisions. It was the Premier League and the FA that made that decision. And again, I think, you know, it's a case of just the powers of football pushing things in the way that the big clubs want. And they don't want to play extra games. They don't want to play replays. But for lower clubs and lower divisions, a replay means a ton of money to keep your club healthy and financially secure. And those moments are really, really big. And over the history of the FA Cup, we've seen some incredible replays that have brought memories. You know, Ronnie Ranford of who was that lower division team that beat Newcastle back in the day. Incredible scenes. So it's lower divisions really getting screwed over again.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a special moment as well for Coventry, because as you guys know, over what, the last 10, 15 years, a struggle that club has had. And Coventry back in the day were a decent Premier League team that had some very, very good players. And they dropped down numerous divisions. They had issues with their stadium. They couldn't figure it out. I think they ended up playing their home games at Northampton Town. And then they came back to Coventry. And for them to go on that cup run, you know, that's just another way. And it's the magic of the FA Cup as well that gives that city a buzz and brings everybody back together supporting the club again. So it was great to see. What a good run. Mm-hmm. Especially being a bit of a derby with Wolves as well. Another Premier League team to get to the semifinals and have a good good game against Man United. So it was good to see. Yeah. I like those stories.
I remember when they won it in 1987 or something like that. I remember that. It was a big, big thing when Coventry had a decent side, like you said, in the top flight, doing well, pretty stable.
For them, playing for them as well. Kobe Jones. Sorry? There was a few Americans playing for them.
Yeah, who is? I'm trying to think. Muzzy is it now? Mustafa Haji, remember him? Mustafa Haji.
Yeah.
Come on, played for them. Who is the other English American guy that played for them? Ah, slips my mind.
I'm trying to think. So let me go through some names here who played for. Dion Dublin was there for years, right?
Remember? Dion Dublin was there. Yeah, yeah.
One of the great strikers in Premier League history.
Richard Shaw, center back.
Right. Tommy Hutchison, way back when. Steve Grizovich, Craig.
Yeah, big Augie.
Back in the 80s, right?
Oh, yeah. What a hammer house of horrors.
His nose. Was he the guy that never had a broken nose?
No, he had a few, I think.
Okay, who was it? Who someone said about getting his nose fixed after all the breaks.
Phil Parks. Phil Parks. Phil Parks. Oh, thank you, yeah. He's like, I never broke my nose either, gaffer. This is the way I was born.
Deformed. Great thing. Cyril Regis. Remember Cyril Regis too?
Yeah.
Like a pioneer. Yeah. No, Coventry is a – you're right. They were a very, very decent side for a long
Wagerly.
Time.
Wagerly. Remember
Roy Wagerly?
Yeah, Roy Wagerly. Wagerly. American guy. He played for them.
Okay. Yeah. But here we are in another Manc derby. In the FA Cup final, which will have, you know, there's appeal to that, isn't there? Obviously.
Yeah.
If United win that, and listen, strange things have happened. If they manage to win that and win the FA Cup, how would you look at their season? Any differently?
Well, I mean, if they manage to beat Man City, yeah, that'll be a big highlight for the season that hasn't been great, basically, but it'll be something. Yeah. They'll take
it. Would that save Erik ten Hag, do you think?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, if you think about Man United, every year they've got to be pushing for a title or getting into a Champions League. That's what they're expected to do. You're 16 points out of a Champions League spot right now. That's a terrible season. Is it not?
Yeah, it is. Terrible. You know? But you win the FA Cup. I mean, it's difficult. I guess you can look at the season and you can break it into different parts, can't you? And winning the FA Cup would be incredible, a great achievement. And you can still have a terrible season, I think. Still look back on this season as being, man, that was a rough one. It's time for change. I was watching the London Marathon yesterday, and Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who just bought 25% of United, changing it all up there, he was running it, the marathon, and then jetting over to Wembley for the FA Cup final, FA Cup semi-final. Guy's like in his 70s, I think.
What an asshole.
I know.
Seriously. Makes you feel like shit, doesn't it?
Billionaire. Yeah. Runs marathons.
Owns clubs. And is running a marathon.
Give me one of those things.
Jet over to
eat. Would you rather be a billionaire or run a marathon?
He's just showing off now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It would be impressive if you won the marathon as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You didn't win, did you? You're way down the table there, Jim, just like your club.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in the top 10 for over 70s.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
So, City also into the final, beating Chelsea 1-0. Do you see Pep's post-match presser? It's brilliant. He just goes off on football. And how many games there are. He said, why don't they give us one more day to recover for the FA Cup? Coventry, Man United and Chelsea don't play in the Champions League. Don't ask us to do extra things now because we won't do it. It's unacceptable to play today. Because coming up of Champions League, lost to Real Madrid, tough one, penalties. And then you're playing on Saturday in the FA Cup. Again, it goes back to the whole too many games thing, right? We discussed before about no more replays in the FA Cup. And yeah, it sucks for the small teams. It really does. It's unfair. But the FA Cup is the one that's had to blink first here because there are just too many games.
Can I flip this, Sharms? If Man City won the penalty on the penalties, would he be saying the same thing?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, we just came off a win and I get to have fun in this FA Cup. And
yeah, I wonder,
does it change Pep's kind of outlook if they had won?
I think he's been on this bandwagon for a while.
Well, I agree there, but I'm just saying it might not have had the same tone.
Victory. The nerves are a little bit more frayed because of the result in the Champions League.
A little more tender.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just think as well, they've got, 22 players on the first team plus a reserve team. They've got about 40 players to select from. They've got a lot of players.
Yeah, I think he's also in the position where whatever he says along those lines, nobody's going to have sympathy for him.
No chance, because everybody's thinking the way that we're thinking.
But there are too many games, though. But regardless of Pep and City, right, I get what you're saying, but there are too many games. Are there not? You guys played?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't play. Yes, there are too many games.
But there are, as simple as that. Now Pep says that, right? And we can all kind of nod, okay, yeah, you're right, as far as too many games. And Klopp will say the same thing, and we'll all nod and say, yeah. And then some other manager will say, too many. Yeah, we all agree there's too many games, but nothing is going to change, right? If everyone agrees it's a thing, a fact, but nothing ever changes.
No, it doesn't. And this has been going on for decades. They've been talking about this. Oh, you know, whether there should be a winter break and there's this and we play too many games. And then when they have a break, these clubs decide that they're going to take their squads over to Asia because they want a big payday. And they, you know what I mean? So
that's
like
a good point.
Like, you don't use that time anyway. If there's any gaps anywhere, they use these teams to travel around to make money off them.
It's so true. They play so many games, but we're going to go to Asia for preseason, play six preseason games.
Look at Miami even, you know, MLS. They travel over to Middle East, Asia, all over
Australia.
The place.
Ridiculous.
Australia, all these old guys traveling around with a team, and Christ, and then no wonder they come back and they're like, I'm sure there must have been saying, like, we're not doing this again.
Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing they did, though, was when they said there was too many games, they lowered the number of teams in the Premier League, didn't they?
That's right. They went from 24 to 20.
They went from 24 to 20.
Mm-hmm. Could they go? There's been talk about going even further and going to 18. That's been discussed.
Bundesliga does that. Bundesliga is 18 teams.
Yeah.
But the Premier League won't do that because that's money, right?
Did you ever play too many games, Craig? Jimmy? Did you guys ever play? Like, was the season in the 90s like it is now? Because you were there for the beginning of it, Craig. Was it too many then, or was it just right?
But yeah, no, there's too many. Too many.
There were too many then too.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're in that the championship's got 24 teams, so that's 46 league games. Then you got your cup games. You come into the cups a little bit earlier, generally, if you're down divisions.
I had seasons where I played about 60-yard games, and don't forget international as well.
Oh, that, yeah. By the time you get to the summer, if there's a international tournament or something like that, you're bagged.
You're done. Because you're playing all your domestic football of the league, then all your cups, and then you're playing international as well. It adds up real quick.
So 7-8 footy primes a week. It's not too hard for you guys, right? Just
well,
so
I know.
I'm hearing you, and I'm just saying
Too many pods, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm human.
Pods are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
That's so true.
There's only so many good assholes out there.
It's a lot of bad assholes, as JC knows from his audition.
A lot of shit talking out there, isn't there?
Some stink more than others.
So, ideally, Jimmy, let me ask you this as player and a coach too. Ideally, how much time do you need off to really regenerate and come back, you know, physically? Forget like serious injuries, you know, go recover and recuperate from a knee, and just like from fatigue. You play a full season. How long do you think you really need to do nothing? Or just
in England, we only had 6-7 weeks off, and then we were back at preseason again.
Is that enough, though?
With MLS, it was very, very long. CPL was even longer. And that's, you're talking months and months. That's way too long to be off.
Unless you're Hamilton or Forge or Cavalry and playing in the Champions Cup in January. A little bit different, maybe.
Yeah. But even then, you've got to have a mini preseason to get them ready for that match. Mm-hmm. And then after that match, then you got to taper them off again and then get them ready again a few weeks later for a preseason before the season starts.
So difficult.
It's so difficult. It really is. But it's way too much time off for me in the CPL. And even MLS is a long time off.
So ideally, I mean, I know you have, you know, summer tournaments and tours and stuff. Nowadays, what, players have like 2 or 3 weeks off maybe. But ideally, how long should it be? A month? Would that be enough to recuperate? Obviously, you're going to still work out in that time, but is a month off?
A month and a half,
yeah. You need 6-7 weeks.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as you switch off completely. I mean, you don't, well, you say switch off completely. You're always doing some physical work, ticking over, doing some running, some cardiovascular work and whatnot to keep yourself somewhat in good shape. And you think about it, Jimmy, I mean, one thing was for sure, if you did have 6 weeks off, you'd go back in preseason and you'd feel like you're starting from zero. Like, you really felt out of shape in that short a period. Like, if you're off for 3 weeks and you do nothing, you need to work on your fitness because it is not at a level that will be good enough. It happens really quickly.
Yeah.
Drop out of shape.
There's some athletes, though, right? Those freaks of nature who are just always fit, though, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just your match fitness goals, and you need that.
Yeah. Yeah, this fitness and match fitness is very different, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Well, we'll be whining about this for years to come. You know, we'll have like 15 pods a week and we'll be whining about too much football. It's going to, right? Because nothing's going to change. There's more stuff coming in, right? Maybe expand squad size. I don't know what the answer is, but it's all a bit crazy. Arsenal beat Wolves. Liverpool beat Fulham. There's midweek games in the Prem as well, so that the Prem is still as tight as it was.
That's hard for me. The midweek games, because I forget that they're going, and then I'll turn on Fubo, and all of a sudden I'm like, shit, I should be watching this. Like, and we're about to jump on, do something. There's some work to be done, but this is our research, right? It's important that we watch these matches.
Yeah, it's kind of important to watch football when you're having a 7 times a week podcast about football.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Sometimes
can't talk about porn auditions and begging all the time.
So, God, I didn't watch anything this weekend. Okay, what can we talk about? Porn auditions. Okay, we're going to kill off the first 10 minutes doing that.
That's amazing.
Football is a vehicle for our podcast to get to whatever topic we like. And that's the beauty of it. That's Footy Prime. And especially when Dubs isn't here.
Always
watches a ton of football.
Well, how did she react to us the other day? We called her out on something and she was like, oh my God. Yesterday you were talking about it, Chris.
That's when you accused her of supporting apartheid.
Oh, that's right.
Oh my God. Can we cut that out too?
No, we can't.
Her pro-apartheid stance.
Yeah. To be clear, Dubs, to be clear, we do not really believe that she supported apartheid.
Really?
Pretty sure she didn't. Oh, God. So there, this week, so four games, as mentioned, where are we here? Tuesday, what's happening today? Got some Serie A today, Roma, Bologna, Milan, Inter Milan today. Ooh, juicy. I mean, Inter's going to win the Serie A. It doesn't matter, but still, that's always a juicy one. Tomorrow, we have Arsenal-Chelsea in the Prem and the Coppa Italia semi-finals. Leicester-Southampton in the Championship tomorrow as well. That's a big one. Yeah. Wednesday, Wolves-Bournemouth, Palace-Newcastle, Everton-Liverpool, the derby, midweek derby.
Ooh.
Ooh. Midweek. And Manchester United-Sheffield United. And then Thursday's Brighton against Man City. So, Yeah, a ton of football this week, and of course, including the Canadian Championship, which we discussed earlier today. So that's fun. It's going to be a good one. Liverpool beat Fulham, like I mentioned there. Klopp starts with Salah, Nunez, McAllister, Konate, and Szoboszlai on the bench. Rotation, 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 right?
Well, you said they were a team that looked pretty tired, I guess, last week, and getting knocked out of that Cup 2 Europa League.
It was a rough week last week, wasn't it, for them? Let's be honest. Yeah.
Rough league for English clubs.
Yeah. No coefficiencies. We had a whole chat about coefficiencies on two shows ago. Mm-hmm. Or the Friday show, actually. But Charms, how'd you feel about your Liverpool losing that match in Europa? Missing opportunities in the table, and now they're in the top with Arsenal, with Man City, with a game in hand. Are you feeling confident, or is this already done for?
No, listen. Forget who it is, but it's Arsenal, Liverpool, or City. There's still enough points. Things can happen. I still think City are going to win this thing. They could win every game. You know, it's going to go down to the wire. But there's still enough points out there that weird things can happen, especially midweek games. There's every chance that Everton could get a point this week, for example, and then good night, title hopes.
Yeah. Chelsea could get something against Arsenal, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we're going to see some more twists and turns just yet.
Yeah.
It's fun, eh? This is the stuff I love about you guys introducing this stuff to me. This is exactly why I thought you guys were interesting, was the Prem. It has some twists and turns that you don't get in other leagues, in other opportunities, because they're playing for the playoffs. This is just the table. This is the championship of the league. And I find that fascinating as a North American fan.
It's brilliant. I'm taking Brighton, by the way, on Thursday.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
Now what now? Brighton have their flip-flops on, though, don't they? But no
they're
pressure.
All over the place, maybe
that could mean they are either brilliant with no pressure.
Yeah.
Or they get dubbed 7-0.
Yeah.
It's one of those, right? It won't be like a 2-0 or a 2-1, right, will it? It's going to be like a one way or the other. It's going to be like, oh shit, because every year there's one of those crazy results, isn't there? It's like, where did that one come from? This could be the week.
I fancy it, because they've had a little bit of a sticky patch over the last few games.
Yesterday I did watch the Forest Everton match, and God, it was a big soccer day yesterday. Where do you want to be? Do you want to? The first half seemed very calm. There was like a, you know, it was like, it seemed like, hey, they're equalizing each other out. Do you want to be playing at home in that type of environment? Because Everton's fans were getting on Everton. Where is it easier to play away? Is it easier to play at home? Or do you want that home kind of support? Craig, where did you feel like the pressure was better for you?
Yeah, well, if you're playing at home, you've always got a better chance to win. So there is added pressure to that, but your support is massive. It's a massive influence on referees too, playing at home.
Oh, right.
I think also you got to factor in that when the team's doing well, it's great playing at home. When you're struggling a relegation battle, it's terrible sometimes coming out of that pitch and the fans are already.
Well, they were Everton. Yeah, Everton was struggling yesterday at the beginning, and their fans were all over them. And if it wasn't for Pickford, he made some great saves yesterday, and he saved his team, basically. And a couple of calls, right?
Yeah.
That Jimmy would be fighting over.
A couple of calls. Jesus Christ. There's a lot of controversy in that one. Forrest are losing their shit about it again. they've taken the social media of Nottingham Forest after this one. Did you see this? They said, we warn the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. We will now consider our options. What are the options? I'm not sure. But they, it's not the first time, Jimmy, they've come public with their concerns about the officiating in their games. And now they're accusing, I think it's bullshit, quite honestly, to essentially accuse corruption, saying, well, the VAR was a Luton fan, therefore he was against us. That's some allegation, isn't it? A bit far, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is some allegation, by the way, just saying, because a guy supports a club or partially supports a club, it's a massive allegation. And to prove that he didn't do his job properly, that's even harder as well. And the reason why he didn't do his job properly was because he wanted Forest to lose and give Luton a chance. I mean, there's a lot that you got to prove, and I don't know how you're going to prove all that.
I don't know. I think it's really unseemly. I really do. You can't do that.
No.
It may have been bad calls. There's always bad calls, unfortunately, even with VAR. And Forest have been screwed over more than one occasion this season. But Craig, I just don't think for the integrity of the sport, you can't go around throwing those kind of allegations about.
No, as bad as it is, I mean, referees have bad games too. And yeah, he might have had a bad game, but I don't think there's anything that's untoward here as far as being a Luton fan or whatever. You know, who's running these social media accounts for these clubs too, right? Is it the fans, some of them, right?
But that's official. That was an official statement though, I think, coming out.
Yeah, but it sounds like a bunch of fans sitting in a pub.
Right, yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
And they got Clattenburg there, right? They hired Mark Clattenburg, former referee, one of the best referees around, arguably. And he's doubled down on this as well. Like, what?
Well, Mark Clattenburg, I mean, as far as integrity in the sport, I'm not sure you get the two connected. He's the first rock and roll referee, isn't he? Mark Clattenburg.
Yeah.
It's about him. And he's done very well out of it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the frustration. I get it from Forrest's point of view, but that coming out with that statement is some allegation.
Some bullshit.
Oh, but you could see the owner as well actually agreeing with that statement and allowing that to come out.
I agree. Right. It says a lot about the ownership. Yeah.
Is there any consequences to that as far as league? You know how when a coach or manager, right after in the press conference, hit back at the refereeing, and they get fined. Is there any pushback on a club doing the exact same thing? Because that's what they've done.
Yeah. The insinuation here is that there's corruption. And that was essentially match fixing. That's the insinuation. That's a massive allegation. You can't prove it. You can get a fine for that. If a player came out post-match and goes, that guy, referee was against us, he's a fan of his other team, massive fine for the player.
Yeah, well, you're given a game, what is it, distribute?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bringing the game into distribute.
Let's just hope it's money and not points.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's where they're pissed off, right? Because they've already lost. Yeah. Was it 2 points, Jimmy, or four? 4 points, that's right, four.
Yeah, they give him another 3 points.
What a crazy season it is, eh? Forest and Everton. Forest right on the brink of the drop zone, right in the brink because of those 4 points.
Yeah.
Everton would be well safe by now if not for those points, so six. Yeah.
And I got to think there's a bunch of clubs that are just struggling financially and they're on the edge of that, you know, points deduction. I mean, if Leicester City get promoted from the Championship back into the Premier League, their finances don't look great. And it looks as though they could potentially have points deducted too for the amount of losses they've taken on. They're losing a ton of money. I think you're allowed to lose, 100 million, something like that, over 3 years. And they're above that. So they couldn't take points off them in the Championship, different league. But if they get promoted back to the Premier League, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it could be a situation where they just sell despite promotion to get their books in line. And they're worse off in their promotion season than they were in the previous. It was just it's sad. It's such a sad statement on the modern game, isn't it?
And that's probably the timing of that Premier League bonus.
Yeah.
For getting promoted. Well, there's 275. Our books are good.
See?
275 million. We're okay.
Prove it. Arsenal beat Wolves 2-0, as I mentioned there. Post-match, and you see this in every game nowadays, but you see the players having chats post-match afterwards. But now they always cover their mouths, right? Because they don't want the cameras to pick up what they're saying. When did that start? I hate it. When did that start, the mouth covering? Was it there when you were playing?
When the press started reading lips and writing about it.
Yeah.
So after the match, you're like, hey, I'll see you at Finn McCool's.
Yeah.
See you at Hooters.
Yeah.
Of course we will, Jimmy. That's, of course we're going to see you there. But it's quite recent, isn't it? The old mouth covering, the last few years? It wasn't when you played, was it?
It's probably about 10 years or so, I would think.
10 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you cover your mouth? Do you remember, Jimmy?
Towards the end, a couple of times you did, because everything that you were saying and talking was like, because the camera angles now too, there's so many cameras in there, everything's zoomed in. And sometimes you want to have a little banter, a little bit of a laugh with an old teammate that you played with, and you say a few things. And last thing you want is people reading your lips and going, oh, look what these guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did that to West Ham. There was a coach that came off, and they were like literally put down what he said, and it's hard to tell exactly reading his lips, but it was like, "I'll have you as well, you twat."
Yeah, this is a shame. You know, we're losing the personalities of the players. No one to see what they're saying. I mean, how bad can it really be? You know. Anyway, okay, what else happened? Oh, Leverkusen. So do you see this? So they were losing. 97th minute, they get the equalizer to maintain their unbeaten run of 45 matches.
Insane.
Oh, wow. 97th minute against Dortmund, of all teams as well, at Dortmund. Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, it's amazing. You've already won the league, but you've got this unbeaten streak going that's just incredible, and you want to keep that going, and they did.
Did they read this right?
As well.
Did I read this right? Was there a late overturned penalty, like they took the penalty and then they overturned it in that match?
Not sure.
I think there was something crazy, like the latest overturned penalty. Let me check that out, actually. You guys want to keep talking about something? Wonga, fill some airtime.
Oh, yeah. We had I'll tell you a couple of things. We had some fun customer reviews. Ooh. It always makes me laugh when they say customer views, because I don't think of the people who listen to our show as customers, but either way. No.
Yeah, exactly. Give it time. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
But we had one from, and Dub shared this on the dark web, Amelia Fiona, 5 stars. Misleading title. Started listening because I thought it was a foot fetish podcast. Turns out it's about soccer. Still pretty good. And there was a great one by our friend LNNAN Keeper. Warning, do not listen to this in the car with the windows down in traffic with pedestrians everywhere. You'll be guaranteed to get some interesting looks. Great show. 5 stars. So thank you, everyone. That's awesome. Keep coming with the customer reviews, because you are all customers to us. That's all we think of you. Just like,
yeah, right. We love
it. But also a shout out to Tony and Charles from Forge. Tony, I didn't get to see you, but Charles, thanks for coming and saying hi to us yesterday. It was great to see you.
Everyone actually saw yesterday. It was brilliant. We had some great
David chats. Edgar.
David, yeah, Eddie, yeah, who we're going to get in the show real soon. I really feel bad about that, because we're going to get David on like ages ago.
Yeah.
And his things slip
Eddie's a good guy.
He's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the good ones.
He was sneaking his dad in for free.
Oh, so funny. So Canadian. So Canadian football.
You just ran him out on air. Jesus.
Yeah. What are you doing in the hallway? He's like, "What? Oh, I'm sneaking my dad in the back door."
That's amazing.
We were looking for a box that was nowhere near where we were. It was actually on the other side.
I know. Where they had the sandwiches. Did we mention the sandwiches?
They were sliders? Fantastic.
Yeah. So here it is. So Dortmund were awarded a penalty, which was subsequently converted by Marcel Sabitzer. However, as the Austrian connected with the goal-bound spot, the referee stopped the play for VAR to check whether a penalty should have been given in the first place. After consulting with VAR, the penalty was cancelled and play was resumed. Another reason why VAR is just stupid. I mean, how late can you be? They converted the penalty. and then called it back.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. That shouldn't have got that far.
No. That VAR, so to speak.
It's almost a prank, right? That's almost a prank.
Yeah. Where taking the piss out of the fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saying, how far can we push football and the fans? What can we do now to push them to the brink? They'll keep watching, those losers. They'll keep spending.
$25 a beer.
Yeah.
You see what it is to go to a baseball game now? $30 for tacos, $30 for a hot dog.
Yep. It is.
They just gouge the fans, don't they? I mean, really, seriously, in all sports, just the actual fans that come and support these events, they happily gouge the fuck out of them.
Yep. Yep.
But they get service with a smile. We're smiling when you give me that hot dog. Yeah.
Bunch of billionaires just rinsing all the rest of it.
Just don't blame the people working at the games. That's one thing. You know, when you are paying that $20 for a beer, which you are paying, like, it isn't the person serving you. It's not his or her fault.
Right? They don't pick it up on the spot. For no, you, they don't. Five. For you, well, fuck, you're a $47.
Right? Well, then you can blame them. You and I like the looks of you. You're paying $46 for that beer.
Some people should be called out.
I think that would be absolutely amazing if they allowed them to do that one day. Like, one game a year, you get to decide how much that individual's paying.
Yeah. No beer for you.
Yeah. You just look like an asshole, so you're not even – you're out. Oh, hello, darling. That's on the house. You, $45.
Oh, you're wearing another team's shirt who isn't even playing today at a stadium? $40, loser. Don't do that. That drives me crazy. Go to a TFC Charlotte game and someone's wearing his freaking Montreal shirt. Like, oh, just stop. What are you doing? Speaking of assholes, I want to mention this. So cab drivers, always whining about Uber, right? Always whining about Uber. Taking up business, right? Out of that concert on Saturday, had to get a cab to the GO train station, right? It's like 10 minutes away. Went through 6 cabs, all in saying, no, 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 no. They went downtown fares. One guy goes, yeah, I'll do it for you for $30. Told him to fuck off.
From East End from to history, Union?
History to Danforth GO station, 10 minutes.
Oh.
And they refused because they want the bigger fare. And I don't like conflict at all. But I told them where to go. Because $30, it cost $8 in an Uber.
How'd you get there?
Headed to the venue?
No, to the Danforth GOAT station.
In the end, I got an Uber.
An Uber.
Yeah. I thought I got old school. All these cabs lined up outside. Yeah, sure. Jump in a cab. No. Speaking of fleecing us, beers at stadiums or cabs outside concerts. Scumbags. Anyway.
Jeez. That's harsh. That's a tough take.
I always complain and whine about this stuff. Well, anyway.
Can I ask you, Sharms, did you tell this guy that you had a podcast and that you were going to call him out?
I didn't actually, no. I should have done, though. You know, we've got a very popular podcast. And,
and I will
if that's still $30, then we'll be discussing it in some depth. Sorry, Bex Taxi, if you want to sponsor us, we are available. Anyway, anything else you want to touch on? No?
Mm-hmm. Well, Craig walked away, he so just he left. Did.
Exactly.
Craig, do you want to talk about anything?
We've got through a lot today.
Crickets.
Later this week, tomorrow, Montreal 3 questions. Is there a broadcast this week?
I don't know if there is.
Okay.
We'll see what Dub said. The interesting one thing I did talk about with Craig on the way home from the match yesterday was they did introduce the 3 new time-saving and rules on MLS. And I didn't hear, and the VAR, referee VAR, didn't hear any backlash. So that's interesting. I didn't hear any controversies or anything like that about the MLS introducing that. So that's interesting to me to see whether or not there will be some controversy with those new rules, even though Dolly and Craig both like them.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think there'll be any controversy with that. I think from the substitute point of view, you got to get your ass off the field quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all agree that that's players stall all the time. So
yeah, of course you do.
Referees
if you're not substitute off quickly enough, then you're going to have to stand there for a couple of minutes.
referee's addressing the crowd too with the VAR. That's smart. And I look forward to that when that kicks in. When is that? That's the
no. That was this weekend.
Was it this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
April 20th. 4:20.
Was it really?
Oh, were you stoned all weekend?
I didn't see much football. I've caught up a little bit on the Prem last night, and then today is my Apple TV wrap up show because I haven't seen hardly any MLS this weekend.
But
I'll be geared up by the time we get to our 3-question podcast. I'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Messi was good again.
Oh, was he? Surprise, surprise!
Yeah, a couple goals and an assist off the corner.
And I also want to formally apologize to John Molinaro about bringing up his beard. Your good beard is sensational. Please don't ever shave. That's for you, Casey Telford. She bashed me. She's like, Wonger, don't make fun of my man's beard. I'm like, okay, I won't.
It was a beard that drew Casey in to begin with anyway, on our show. Or maybe in football too, actually. Actually, maybe in room 4. Anyway, regardless. good. Yeah, leave J-Mo's beard alone. Like I said, sure. I've only ever known J-Mo to have a beard. And as we all know, when someone shaves, God forbid, because they'll be just, you know, ridiculed and mocked by their friends, as I found out. So yeah, J-Mo, keep it going strong,
pal. JC, when he pulls his beard back, he looks like a chinless wonder. His wife's like, don't ever shave that beard.
All right, that's Footy Prime. Thank you, Fubo TV. We love you. Big games throughout the week on there. Until next time, thank you. Keep listening. Keep subscribing to our YouTube channel. And make sure you check out wearefootyprime.com. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
I love that. Magician.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.